What is your favourite thing about Christmas? And I know everybody's answer. Louise, it's the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that, what's your favourite thing about your celebration of Christmas? However you celebrate, is it present giving? Is it pigs in blankets? That might be mine. Is it the decorations? Is it the Christmas films? Is it spending time with your family? However that might look like this year. What is it? I'd be really interested to hear. Pop it in the comments box and tell me what your favourite thing about your celebration of Christmas is. Go on, off you go. So, I'm looking forward to reading those in a moment. Next question. I think somebody will have put this. Debbie's put Florentines. I do like Debbie's Florentines greatly. She makes amazing Florentines. Next question. Someone will have put Christmas music on. So, what's your favourite Christmas song? On the screen, here's a picture of the lovely Mariah, Angel of Christmas, and of Wham, George Michael, rest in peace. So, is it Last Christmas by Wham? That's Rebecca's favourite Christmas song. What's your favourite Christmas song? Is it something by Slade, or is it The Fairy Tale of New York with the clean version of the lyrics? Is it Frosty the Snowman? Anything by Cliff Richard? Dan loves Cliff Richard. Or is it my particular favourite, anything sung by not Gary Barlow, but Alid Jones? Oh, love Alid Jones. As a small Louise, I loved him so very. What is your favourite Christmas song? Pop it in the comments and let me know. And if you're watching on a telly and you can't do that now, pop it in the comments later on so we can all join in. If you were with us last week, you might remember that we're looking at the first Christmas songs, the first Christmas carols, as it were, all from Luke's Gospel. Last week, we looked at Mary's Magnificat. Next week, we'll join in with the angels' song and their Gloria. And today, we're thinking about Zechariah's Benedictus. In fact, we continue where we left off last week. A pregnant Mary arrives at her relatives, Elizabeth and Zechariah's house in the country. And her song is in response to the news that she is carrying God's son. But Zechariah's song is in response to a promise fulfilled and an actual, real, live and kicking baby, Jesus's cousin, John, who will later be known as John the Baptist. And Elizabeth and Zechariah's story isn't ordinary either. For scripture tells us that they're both very old and have been unable to conceive a child naturally. But like Mary's story, there's an announcement by an angel telling the older couple that they too will play their part in the big picture of God, and they too will be parents. At work in the temple, Zechariah doesn't quite know what to do with himself when confronted with this news and this angel. He has a little bit of a lack of faith. He's dumbstruck, literally. The angel switches off his mouth until the time of the baby's birth, 9 months later. I had to laugh this week on Twitter when Paul Carenza, the comedian who played at our church a couple of years back, said this story was the forerunner for the most commonly used sentence in our lockdown life, which is, "You're on mute." It made me laugh. So let's hear the scripture reading. If you have your Bibles open or on, let's follow along. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's come to his people and redeemed them. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly in Israel. Elizabeth gives birth at her old age to John, and they take him to be circumcised when he was 8 days old. And Zechariah's mouth is unlocked and out pours prophecy and praise. 9 months of silence, and he's moved from silence to praise. And out comes all this pent up praise. Well, now, how often can we say that comes out of our mouths? Zechariah is awed at the prospect of the Old Testament prophecies he knew so well coming to fruition before his very eyes. And what else can he do but pour out his praise? And Luke wants us to know in the text that all the people around him were amazed and awed as well. What an obvious testimony and witness happening in the middle of their community. Zechariah pours out praise because of the mercy of God revealed to him and to his ancestors. And this song isn't just a thank you that we have a new baby, and isn't that awesome when we least expected it, but it's a prophetic song with some big themes. The song praises God for deliverance from sin and a saviour who is coming to change the world. Wow. He talks about three things broadly: a horn, a house, and a holiness, each of which say something about the coming of Jesus Christ and what he will do for the world. So first, Zechariah sings of a horn. Verse 68 says this: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's come to his people and he's redeemed them. He's raised up a horn of salvation for you." Jesus is the horn of salvation. That's not one of the names that will crop up in our Advent morning thoughts, but it's another name for Jesus. It's not a tenor horn or a flugelhorn. Can you tell I Googled that? But it's an image of a wild animal's horn. Bear with me. The horn of salvation is mentioned quite a few times in the Old Testament, but here in Psalm 18, verse 2, which says this: "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of salvation." So the image is of a wild animal with horns. And those horns were used for butting and for fighting and for protection and for securing dominance. And so a horn in this context is a symbol of strength and power and victory. It's a symbol that means power. Zechariah is singing praise to the one who is the power behind salvation, the one who fights for his people. And we know that to be true. Those of us who have met Jesus and have followed him, we know that God fights for us and so makes a way to deal with our past and our present and our future. Zechariah sings of the God who knew we were in trouble and so came to fight for us and to save us. That's what Christmas is about. The coming of Jesus into our world to begin the call for salvation, to fight for us. Now, if you need a God to fight for you, Jesus is on your side. He's completely trustworthy. So that's a horn of salvation. In our next few verses, Zechariah sings about a house. It's not a house with a tree up with twinkly lights and an inflatable Santa outside. I only have two of those. But it's a house where the excitement is still as real as many of ours are at the moment. Hear this in verse 70, and perhaps you will hear the excitement in the house. It says, he says, his horn of salvation has been raised up in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. The Old Testament prophesies that Christ would be born to the house and line of David. As a godly Jew, Zechariah cannot get over the fact that at last God has kept his promise. And Jesus is coming and he will see it with his own eyes. The Messiah who brings salvation. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about the coming of the Saviour. Loads of them. In Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah. And they all come true. Someone once said that all those prophecies are like an advent calendar with no numbers on. All those prophecies built anticipation and expectation for the coming Messiah to the house of David, just as he always said it would be. So why is that important? And this is the important bit, so listen in. Is that God always, always keeps his promises. We live in a world of broken promises. In the Bible, there are over 7,000 promises from God to his people, and each one of them is kept. God fights for you, and God keeps his promise. Maybe you need to know that today. So that's a horn and a house. And Zechariah sings about a holiness. As he brings the first half of the song to a close, he reminds us that Christ came for a purpose. And that purpose is in verse 74 and 75. So we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Christ's coming gives us purpose. It's about the change in our lives that Jesus brings. In these verses, Zechariah speaks of the total transformation that Jesus will make to the lives of those who follow him. Salvation leads to change. And hopefully to holiness. And that leads to lives lived out in service. Part of the Christian life is about praising God, and also about serving in his name, about serving others. And there's loads of ways we can do that. There's loads of ways that we have done that as a church in these strange times, in working and serving the food bank, in serving the homeless, in packing shoeboxes for children for Christmas, in writing letters to nursing home residents, in ringing each other up and checking in on one another, in walking friends' dogs when they can't, and so on. Zechariah reminds us that Jesus changes us, that he makes us more like him, and in his name we serve others. But he also says that we can serve without fear. And I think that's important coming from the mouth of Zechariah the priest, who had been struck dumb by an angel. Now, if that had happened to you, possibly that would make you fearful. It certainly would me. Zechariah was a priest who knew that 9 months earlier, when he entered the holiest place, that if he was not ritually clean, he might well die in the temple. And now he's singing of the change that comes because of grace. His song is framed by mercy and not fear. For grace has always been the defining characteristic of God. And God has granted an old man the honour of singing a new song. Wow. So, remember that Zechariah's song is about the horn of salvation, that reminds us of the power of God at Christmas and always. His song is about the house of David, that reminds us that God's promises are fulfilled in Christ, and every promise is kept. And his song is about the holiness of God's servants, that remind us of our purpose at Christmas and always, to serve in lives lived out. And he concludes his song with a prophecy over his son John. He says, John will prepare the way for the Lord. He will point people to the light of Christ, a light that shines in the darkness and in the shadow of death. And he will guide our feet to peace. What a song to sing. Now, that was his song. Last week, I asked you this question. What's your song? What's your song of faith at the moment? And I challenge you to maybe write that down. If you're a songwriter, to write a poem or a song that we could maybe sing in church or not. Maybe your song is of the God who fights for you. Then sing that song with your life. Maybe your song is about the one who provides salvation for you. Then sing that song with your faith. Or of the God who keeps his promises, who provides us with purpose and relationship. Now, you may be watching this morning and going and thinking, well, I don't know that for myself. I have not met this Jesus who has saved me. I'd like to invite you to delve more into this story of the Jesus who dies for you on the cross so that you might know freedom and you might know the thrill of hope in your sins being forgiven. If you don't know the big picture of this story for yourself and you want to know more, get in touch. We'd love to explain more, to give you something that you can read and understand. Today we learn about a horn, a house and a holiness, of a song of faith that is sung, that points about who Jesus is. Let's pray together.